Welcome to the Mental Minute, an AI-generated podcast. Today we're going to be diving into some really interesting research on the halo effect. Think of this as your personal research assistant. You know, boiling down a stack of info into the most interesting bits.
Yeah, it's a fascinating cognitive bias that I think we can all relate to, you know, where first impressions, good or bad, can really color our judgment.
Right, like judging a book by its cover, but for everything.
Exactly. And the term itself actually comes from those halos around angels in old paintings. You know, that glow makes everything nearby seem brighter.
So if someone seems attractive, like right off the bat, we might automatically think they're also smart or kind.
Precisely. Wikipedia uses that example. You see a nice photo and boom, you've decided they're a good person. But this goes way beyond just looks.
Okay, let's unpack that a little bit. What else can kind of trigger this halo effect?
Well, any strong first impression, really. Early research by Edward Thorndike found that military officers rating their soldiers were swayed by things like appearance and neatness when judging completely unrelated qualities, like leadership skills or intelligence.
Oh, wow. It's like one good trait casts a shadow over everything else. And it works both ways, right? There's that horn effect, too.
Absolutely. A negative first impression can make us overly critical. The Guardian uses Hugo Chavez as an example. Some leaders are so demonized that it's almost impossible to see their actions objectively.
Wow, that's a powerful concept. But let's get back to this attractiveness thing for a second. Mm-hmm. Is there actual research showing it impacts our judgment?
Oh, tons. The attractiveness stereotype is very well documented. We unconsciously assume beautiful people are better in almost every way. One study by Dion, Burscheid, and Walster had people look at photos and make predictions about the individual's lives.
I'm guessing the attractive folks were predicted to have it all. Great careers, happy marriages, the whole nine yards.
You got it. But here's the interesting thing. People didn't think attractive individuals would be good parents. Perhaps there's an underlying assumption that attractive people are more focused on themselves.
That's really interesting. It's like attractiveness creates this halo, but there are these weird little exceptions where it doesn't quite shine through.
Yeah, and this bias plays out in all sorts of areas. One study by Landy and Segal had male students grade essays, supposedly written by women, accompanied by photos.
So they were judging the writing, but also seeing if the author was attractive.
Exactly. And guess what? Attractiveness totally biased their grading, especially for poorly written work.
So the halo effect gave those attractive authors a boost, even when their writing wasn't great.
Precisely. It seems those male students were more willing to give attractive women the benefit of the doubt. But this goes way beyond academics. Think about politics.
Okay, yeah, here's where it gets really interesting. Are you telling me our voting decisions can be swayed by a candidate's looks?
Well, research suggests it's possible. Even quick glances at photos can impact opinions. And it's not just looks, name recognition, or a family legacy can create a similar halo effect.
So it's like this unconscious bias is at play behind the scenes, just shaping our views without us even realizing it.
Right. And it even shows up in courtrooms. Efrin and Monahan's research found that attractiveness could lead to more lenient sentences.
So a good-looking defendant might get off easier than someone who's not as conventionally attractive. That's a bit unsettling.
It is. One study even showed participants recommending harsher punishments for unattractive defendants, even when the crimes were identical.
Wow. That's pretty powerful evidence for how much this bias might be affecting our everyday judgments. It really makes you wonder.
And that's the first step towards becoming more aware of it and potentially mitigating its influence in our own lives. But it's important to remember that the halo effect isn't just about looks.
Right. It's about the power of first impressions to shape our perceptions in any area of life.
Exactly. Think about brands, for example.
When the iPod first came out, you know, it felt like everyone suddenly loved Apple products. Was that the halo effect in action?
Yeah, it's a classic example.
Yeah.
You know, the iPod was so innovative and stylish that it really cast a positive glow over the entire brand.
So people who love their iPods might have been more likely to buy a Mac even if they'd never even considered one before.
Exactly. That positive association can be a powerful marketing tool, but it's not always a guaranteed win.
Wait, are you saying positive traits can sometimes backfire? How does that work?
Well, think of it as the reverse halo effect. Okay, imagine a company known for its exceptional customer service. If they have a major product failure, people might be even more outraged.
Because their expectations were so high to begin with.
Precisely. It's like that old saying, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. And speaking of falling, let's not forget about the horn effect, the opposite of the halo.
Right. That's where one negative trait can overshadow everything else. It's like trying to climb out of a pit of negativity.
Yeah, a very fitting analogy. It can be incredibly tough to break free from a negative perception once it's formed. Think about a political leader who's been demonized by the media.
Even if they do something objectively good, people are going to be skeptical. That's a powerful force.
It really is. It creates a filter that distorts our perception. But it's not just first impressions that shape these biases. Our own mood can also play a role.
So if I'm in a good mood, I'm more likely to see halos everywhere.
Essentially, yes. Research by Forgas showed that people in a positive mood were more likely to attribute positive qualities to strangers, even with very limited information.
Wow. So my emotions could actually be coloring how I perceive the world.
Yeah.
That's both fascinating and a bit scary.
It is. It highlights just how powerful our emotions can be in shaping our perceptions. But mood isn't the only factor at play. Other research suggests that things like gender, even the prevalence of disease in a community, might play a role.
Disease. How does that tie into the halo effect?
Well, it might sound strange, but one study found that in communities with higher rates of infectious diseases, people tended to place a greater emphasis on physical attractiveness.
Huh. Maybe it's an evolutionary thing. You know, in environments where disease is more prevalent, people subconsciously look for signs of health and vitality, which might be linked to attractiveness.
That's one possible explanation. It just goes to show how complex this bias really is. It's not as simple as what you see is what you get. There are all sorts of factors at play.
So we've covered attractiveness, brands, politics, even disease. What's the key takeaway here? What do we really need to remember about the halo effect?
Well, I think the main takeaway is that the halo effect and the horn effect are powerful cognitive biases that can really distort our judgment in all areas of life.
It's like we need to become our own personal bias detectives, constantly on the lookout for clues.
I love that analogy. We need to be aware of these biases so we can at least try to mitigate their influence and make more informed, more objective decisions.
And remember, this isn't about being nice or giving everyone the benefit of the doubt. It's about striving for fairness and accuracy.
Absolutely. It's about recognizing that first impressions, while powerful, don't always tell the whole story. There's always more to discover.
It's like peeling back the layers of an onion. Each layer reveals something new, something unexpected.
Another great analogy. And that's what makes life so fascinating.
Totally. So as we wrap up our deep dive into the halo effect, what's one final thought you'd like to leave our listeners with?
I'd encourage everyone to just pay attention to their own judgments and decisions over the next few days. See if you can catch yourself being influenced by the halo or horn effect.
It's like a little homework assignment.
Right.
You know, become aware of those snap judgments.
Exactly. And remember, there's no shame in having biases. We all use mental shortcuts, you know? The key is awareness, so we can try to, you know, make more conscious choices.
So it's about recognizing that, like, gut feeling and then saying, hold on, is this just the halo effect talking?
Precisely. Ask yourself, what else do I know? What other information might be important?
It's like that saying, you know, don't judge a book by its cover. We need to really dig deeper.
Exactly. And by understanding the halo effect, we can become better judges of character products, even ideas.
Yeah, it's like we're leveling up our critical thinking skills.
That's a great way to put it. The more we understand these biases, the better equipped we are to navigate the world around us.
So to wrap up our deep dive into the halo effect, I think the biggest thing to remember is how easily first impressions can really sway our judgments. But by being aware of this bias, we can at least strive for more fairness and accuracy in our decisions.
Absolutely. And that's a skill worth cultivating in all areas of life.
Well, thanks for joining us today on The Mental Minute for this deep dive into the fascinating world of the halo effect.
It's been a pleasure. Keep those brains buzzing.